Today's WBFO brief was recorded at around 8:30 in the morning. This is WBFO News.
Ryan Zunner with you in studio, filling in for Jay Moran. Well, political tensions between Canada and India are heating up. India has withdrawn its high commissioner from Canada, and the two countries have each expelled six other diplomats. As our Dan Karpinchuk reports, the move comes after the Royal Canadian Mounted Police alleged that Indian diplomats based in Canada were engaged in criminal activities, including homicides and extortions.
The stunning allegations came on Canada's Thanksgiving Day, a national holiday, during a news conference led by the RCMP Commissioner Mike Duhem. He says it's not normal to disclose information about ongoing investigations, but in this case, it is due to what he calls a significant threat to public safety.
Over the past few years, and more recently, law enforcement agencies in Canada, including the RCMP, have successfully investigated and charged a significant number of individuals for their direct involvement in homicides, extortions, and other criminal acts of violence.
Duhem adds that investigative teams have also found threats against Sikhs in Canada.
The team has learned a significant amount of information about the breadth and depth of criminal activity orchestrated by agents of the government of India and consequential threats to the safety and security of Canadians and individuals living in Canada.
Duhem says Indian diplomats and consular officials based in Canada have engaged in clandestine activities to collect information for the government of India, and individuals and businesses were coerced and threatened to do that work. Duhem says the investigation reached a point in which it was determined to confront the government of India. Evidence was presented to Indian officials, and Canadian officials asked that India remove the diplomatic immunity of diplomats and consular officials implicated in Canada. Delhi said no. Ottawa then moved to have those individuals expelled. In response, India said it was withdrawing its high commissioner to Canada, as well as the others implicated. Then Delhi ordered the expulsion of six Canadian diplomats. Melanie Joly is Canada's Minister of Global Affairs.
To be clear, we're not seeking diplomatic confrontation with India, but we will not sit quietly as agents of any country are linked to efforts to threaten, harass, or even kill Canadians.
Joly says she's been in contact with her counterparts from the Five Eyes group, the U.S., Britain, Australia, and New Zealand. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau also held a news conference Monday to address the issue.
While attempts have been made by the RCMP and national security officials to work with the government of India and Indian law enforcement counterparts on this matter, they have been repeatedly refused. This is why, this weekend, Canadian officials took an extraordinary step. They met with Indian officials to share RCMP evidence, which concluded six agents of the government of India are persons of interest in criminal activities. And despite repeated requests to the government of India, it has decided not to cooperate.
Trudeau went on to say that Canada respects the sovereignty and territorial integrity of India and expects the Indian government to do the same.
It is obvious that the government of India made a fundamental error in thinking that they could engage in supporting criminal activity against Canadians here on Canadian soil, whether it be murders or extortion or other violent acts. It is absolutely unacceptable.
In a statement, the Indian government said it rejects the allegations as preposterous and is claiming that Canada has not shared a shred of evidence and accused the Trudeau government of a deliberate strategy of smearing India for political gains. For WBFO News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto on the Canadian Beat.
You're listening to WBFO, your NPR station here on this Tuesday. Buffalo Mayor Byron Brown is expected to officially resign today with a press conference scheduled for 8 a.m. The city's longest-serving mayor indicated last month he'll be stepping down to accept the position as president and CEO of the Western Regional Off-Track Betting Corporation, which oversees horse gambling and the Batavia Downs Casino in the area. Brown is getting a public salary bump up to $295,000 a year with his new position. After Brown's resignation as mayor, Common Council president from the South District, Chris Scanlon becomes acting mayor with a general election scheduled for November of next year. Well, with Indigenous Peoples Day yesterday, from Western New York through Canada's Golden Horseshoe, there's a movement to preserve Haudenosaunee languages. Alex Simone of WBFO News has more.
The Tuscarora were on the brink of losing their language just a few years ago, with one remaining first language speaker and a few second language speakers. Thanks to the nonprofit group Bundled Arrows, the number of adult speakers is expanding, recently reaching a total of 13 speakers. Bundled Arrows Executive Director Lynette Printup says her goal within the next 20 years is to have speakers whose first language is Tuscarora, also known as Skarura.
They're going to be almost an adult in 20 years, and their first language was Skarura. That's a big goal. You know, that means that not only are we teaching adults to speak, but those adults are teaching their children how to speak. And then we have the resources and the environment set up in our whole community to support a speaker.
Tuscarora Elementary School language teacher Aaron Printup, who's not related to Lynette, says it feels good teaching their language to a new generation of students.
It's really amazing to sit here and hear kids using Tuscarora in the classes. It's really amazing to have them be able to read Tuscarora. We're kind of rebounding now and building, just like you said, we're building up our speakers and our knowledge of Tuscarora within the students of the community and the people of the community.
Similar to Bundled Arrow, Gowenio's school in southern Ontario is experiencing increased interest.
So, Skano, Dalgetne Nigaso, Asseskai, Neostrade, Ona, Agrihot Date Nato, Gowenio.
That's Gowenio employee Amanda General introducing herself in Cayuga. General acts as social development counselor for preschool to eighth grade students and as a guidance counselor for high school students. She says the bonds built during the language immersion process don't end with graduation.
My teachers that I've had over the years, I don't look at them as my teachers. They became my grandparents. They became my aunties. They became my family. You know, like, they are my family, and I look at them and I respect them in that sense. Even to this day, they're very respected. And it's not only being in the classroom. It's like outside of here. It's our community.
Gowenio School is unique because students can learn Mohawk or Cayuga, and 100% of classes are in those languages until English integration starts in 7th grade. But the school doesn't have a dedicated building, which means limited capacity and a long wait list. Gowenio School recently was awarded almost $27 million in Canadian, or about $20 million US, from the Six Nations Council to build a new school. General says having its own building will go a long way toward increasing the school's enrollment.
We started to see new students registrations coming in, and we're running out of space. This year we needed another classroom, so our resource room kind of got moved into a class, changed around to a classroom, you know, so we're trying to use this as much. We're running out of space for storage. We're running out of space for classrooms, you know, our numbers are going up. I'm excited for the new school.
Lynette Printup says financial factors also limit the number of people who participate in the Bundled Arrows program, because the learning process is so time intensive that the organization pays participants to attend.
We're asking our adults to carry our language for us. We're asking them to learn it and pass it on. And so, you know, we can't pay them a lot, but we do pay them, you know, minimum wage to be here for 30 hours a week, because that's what it takes. Our cohort went 30 hours a week for 2 years, and all they're doing is speaking to each other. So they're in a room talking to the same people for 30 hours a week.
She says most of the program's recent graduates are staying involved in the program, either helping teach or taking the class a second time. For WBFO News, I'm Alex Simone.
Don't forget to like or subscribe so you can help others find this podcast. And if you love it, leave a review too. The WBFO Brief Podcast and the award-winning journalism of WBFO's news team are made possible by our members. Thank you for listening.